Unit 2. Listening 2. CAE Part 4. Multiple Matching. Speaker 1.
I'd given up just about everything, the job, the house, the car, and gone to Spain to be with my husband. Then 6 months later, it was all over. Both of us believed we'd rushed into marriage too soon, and there was little that made us compatible as spouses. At the same time, we felt the friendship that had drawn us together in the first place was just too valuable to throw away, and the only way to save it was by splitting up. The thing is, I remember hugging Alfonso at the airport, boarding the flight to Manchester and waiting to feel some kind of relief. It didn't come. By the time we landed, I had this awful sense that we'd rushed just as fast into a divorce. A year has passed, and I still can't help wishing we'd put a bit more effort into staying together.
Speaker 2.
I was a no-hoper at school, see? No one had heard of dyslexia in those days, so my teachers just classed me as an idiot. I might have behaved myself later if I'd been given a bit more attention then, but I was told time and time again that I was going to be a failure. It surprised no one, including myself, that I ended up in prison, but all that time on my hands gave me the chance to think. I realised I'd turned out just how they said, and I wanted to prove it could be different. I did a law degree while I was inside, and it was tough, I tell you, but since I got out, I've never looked back. I'm about to become a partner in a law firm, and that's an achievement that gives me immense satisfaction.
Speaker 3.
I'd always wanted to do voluntary work, ever since I qualified as a nurse. Marriage and children always got in the way of my plans, though. But now that the kids were older, there didn't seem any reason to put it off, even though I was coming up to my 50th birthday. And once I'd got their backing, there was no stopping me, really. Of course, I missed them all when I was there, but I just threw myself into my work. I had to, really. It was a very isolated rural area. There was no running water, no medicines, and so much poverty. But I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that I was given the chance to go. It was a real eye-opener, and I learnt so much about their culture and about myself. For that, I'll always be thankful.
Speaker 4.
I'd worked my way up to supervisor and got just about as far as I could go in the company. It was a responsible position and gave us a certain amount of security, and I suppose that's why I stuck it for so long. Inevitably, though, it got to the point where the routine just got too much. I wasn't developing professionally, and nothing about the job pushed me to better myself. So when Sue suggested taking over a cafe franchise, I jumped at the chance. Neither of us had a background in catering, but we refused to be daunted. We had to learn all aspects of the business in a very short time, but I found it all very thrilling, and still do. Even now, I wake up every day really looking forward to going into work, being in a new environment and dealing with the fast pace.
Speaker 5.
I'd been biting my nails since I was a 3-year-old, apparently. It had never really bothered me before, despite my parents' constant moaning. They made me put this liquid on them called No Bite. Tasted horrible, it did, until I got used to it, that was. When I started work, though, I began noticing the looks of mild horror on the customers' faces. Every time I was wrapping up a present or was just resting my hands on the counter, I could sense them staring, and it made me incredibly self-conscious. So I had these plastic tips put on, and that gave my nails the chance to grow. No one notices them anymore, so the problem is essentially solved. But it has nothing to do with my willpower. It's actually humiliating for a 23-year-old to be wearing plastic tips. It's a secret I would hate my boyfriend to find out.